So good morning then, and welcome back to Thought for the Day. Today we're going to be looking at Titus chapter 1 and verses 15 and 16. But before we do that, let's come to the Lord and ask for his help this morning. Let's pray. Father, we come to you. We recognize that unless your Holy Spirit illuminates your word to us, we will not understand it. So we pray that you would open the eyes of our understanding, that you would teach us wonderful things as we look at your word this morning. We pray that we might understand how we should apply your word to our lives, for Jesus' sake. Amen. So let me read to you then the verses that we're going to be looking at from Titus chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. To the pure, all things are pure, but to those who are corrupted and do not believe, nothing is pure. In fact, both their minds and their consciences are corrupted. They claim to know God, but by their actions they deny him. They are detestable, disobedient, and unfit for doing anything good. So then as we come to these end verses then of Titus chapter 1, it's good to get our bearings, and it's good to just think about where we're at in what we're looking at. The Apostle Paul is writing to Titus, one of the men that he's been instrumental in training and equipping for Christian ministry. So he calls him his son in the faith. He is in Crete, where Paul has left him to establish an eldership. That is a group of men who will lead the church in Crete on right paths. So Paul has a plan for what Titus should be doing, and this is what we get in the book of Titus as he instructs him. Why is that important? Well, because the devil uses ungodly men to infiltrate the church and to lead it astray. He uses those who have an agenda which is other than God's agenda to lead us in bad ways. So why is this important for us? Why, as we look at Titus, are we interested in this? Well, put simply, we need to be able, as God's people, to identify the good and the bad, and to make right choices. So in instructing Titus, the Holy Spirit instructs us so that we know what to look out for when we're considering those that might be elders or leaders in our church. So in the last two sessions, Tony and Dave have given you food for thought in relation to those who deceive to line their own pockets and make money in the name of Christ, or those who are too lazy to study the Bible well and simply go with whatever scheme grabs their attention first. So they're caught up with all kinds of, fables really, nonsense that has nothing to do with following Christ. Well, today we're thinking about those who profess a faith in Christ and who maybe even deceive themselves into believing that they know God, yet it's evident that they do not know him from the way that they would live. Now, those that are not regenerate, who have not come to Christ for the forgiveness of their sin, whose minds are stuck on earthly things, who are not indwelt by the Spirit of God, have no hope of discerning what is pure and right before God. They just can't do it. They are dead in sin and unable to see things in the way that God does. So they cannot see that which God wants. They do not know the way that God wants them to go, because they are walking in their own way, and sin has barred that relationship between them and God. Now, one of the big dangers that is in our midst today in the church, in particularly the church in the West, is this desire to get people into church. You know, we want to see our buildings full, we want to see more people coming in, and we have a right motive for that. We want to know that people would come to know the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved from the sin. But the sad thing is that all too often we fall into the trap of becoming entertainers. We put on things that we believe that the wider world will want to see and to experience in order that we might get them in to the building. And it starts off well meant. It starts off seeking to share the gospel with people. But after a while, that begins to wane. And after a while, the gospel begins to be watered down. Sin is no longer mentioned. It's a taboo subject. It doesn't get brought up, and Jesus becomes all loving, and there is no hint of the wrath of God. There is no sinners in the hands of an angry God. There's none of that thought or taught among in the churches that take this route of entertainment. They do not know Christ, those that do not know Christ get into positions of leadership through that model, through that whole understanding of watering things down. And so it no longer becomes about Christ. It becomes about joining a club, and it's not a church. And so you have unconverted people who find themselves in positions of leadership. What makes it obvious when things have gone wrong? Well, the leaders are living lives completely at odds with the Bible and have no qualms about it. So they begin to practice in their lives, or to adopt practices which are ungodly, which are nothing to do with what the Bible says. And when they're challenged over it, they will attack others, or they will actually simply ignore the challenge because and pretend it's never happened. Their minds and consciences are corrupt. They simply cannot see the truth. It's just not in their scope of vision. We've seen that in recent times, in particularly in relation to gender, in relation to sexual orientation, all those kind of different things. We've seen that where people have decided not to follow the God of the Bible and simply to make up their own way along. And they just can't see that there's any particular issue with that. They can only see the construction of a God that they have made. So we begin to see that. See, that's obvious in the church in which we operate in this land and around the world. Well, it's no wonder then that Paul wanted to make sure that there were leaders in our churches, godly leaders in our churches. He was unwilling to leave the starting of the church in Crete to chance. He wasn't just going to, you know, preach the gospel and walk away. What he wanted to do was make sure that the church had the right kind of leadership that would see them on their way, and that would mean that they'd stick to godly paths, to what the Bible says. And he was unwilling just to let anyone become leader. That's a temptation, isn't it, really, that, you know, if you're moving away from somewhere, moving on to the next spot, that you simply leave it in the hands of those that you think, well, you know, they're the best that's there, so that they'll have to do. It's a massive problem, actually, out in Africa. When I go out there, I see it most clearly. When new churches are planted in Africa, often what happens is that there are not godly men there to take up the offices of elder or leader within the church. And all too often, it simply falls to one of those who is in the community that's either seen as a pillar of the community at the time. They don't have to be a believer necessarily, or certainly don't have to have been a believer for very, very long. Or they are perhaps the witch doctor that has been converted and then simply takes up the reins of that office within the church, whether or not they actually have been converted or not. And sometimes they just be given that role. And then there is this danger, because they don't know what they're doing. They simply go then for the easiest source of information. The easiest source of information in our day is to watch television and to watch that which is being taught on there. And so they get their teaching, they get their theology from the TV screen. Well, what's on the TV screen? Well, we can tell you quite clearly what's on the TV screen. What's on the TV screen is what is popular. And what is popular is health, wealth and prosperity. False teaching is popular. And so that's often broadcast on all of these Christian or so-called Christian channels. So there is this particular issue or particular problem. But it doesn't just happen out in Africa. It's not that men are appointed into only in Africa that aren't in, or shouldn't be in the position of leadership. It also happens in this country. It happens in this country because, again, we go for the easiest source of learning, or that which seems to be tickling our ears. And so people would rather listen to the likes of Joyce Meyer or Stephen Furtick or Joel Austin or Benny Hinn or the many other false teachers that are out there in our world today. Because it's easy believism. It's easy believism. It's an understanding that we are dependent on ourselves, that we just need motivating. It's that kind of thinking. Christianity at no real cost, no real sacrifice, no real commitment. And so we're easily led into it. John MacArthur puts it like this. He says, we're living in a world where junior church has taken over. Today's church is designed to be appealing en masse. So it's watered down, feel-good worship, it's entertainment-based services, and it's insipid sermons that are little more than motivational talks. That's the dangers that we face even today. So Titus is writing into our world. He's writing to us, and he's telling us to wake up or rather, I should say, Paul is writing to Titus, and so by the Holy Spirit to us, that we might wake up and, as it were, see the dangers. Now, we need to pray then in our day that we would be preserved from such evil, and that he would, that God would raise up godly leaders full of gospel courage in our days for our churches. And so if you're not praying about that, then you need to make that a passionate prayer in your life today. Let's pray. Loving Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it teaches us clearly the kind of men that should be in leadership within a church. We ask, Lord, that you would raise up such godly men in our day. And Lord, that we would see those who constantly are teaching the truth in such a way as that the false is obvious. Lord, not that we go around bashing people, not that we go around chasing after heresies, but Lord, that we are those that are passionate on seeking the truth and living by it. And so we ask, Lord, that we'd have men who can lead us in those ways, and we ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.